Welcome to Living Bread, the broadcast from Bread of Heaven Church.
Feed your soul and set your spirit free.
We are located in the heart of Nashville, Tennessee at 2430 Jefferson Street. Our pastor is Elder Russell Perkin, an anointed teacher and preacher. The conference call you're about to enjoy happens twice a month on Monday evening at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. Please be sure to mute your phone for the call and open your heart for a word from the Lord.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to the Bread of Heaven Church Wednesday night Bible study. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. We're mindful of how awesome and wonderful you are. How glorious your name is, how forgiving and gracious you have been toward us. Lord, our hearts cry out to you, Lord. In gratitude, Lord, we say hallelujah because you are worthy of the praise. Lord, we stand, Lord, in agreement with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the blessings of food and shelter and family, a place to pray, brothers and sisters in Christ to have fellowship with and to be fellow laborers in the kingdom with. Lord, it is indeed a privilege. There's some places where we would be persecuted, thrown in jail, perhaps threatened with death if we so much as had a Bible in our hands. And Lord, we thank you for the freedom we have to worship you in spirit and in truth, and to study your word, and to lift your name up high wherever we go. Lord, we thank you for being a mighty and awesome God. Lord, we praise you. Have you brought us through some tough times? Lord, you have allowed us to weather some hard storms. And Lord, you have kept our feet on a rock to stay, Lord. And we cry out to you. Lord, you have filled many of us on this call with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, we're glad about it and we thank you. None of us could have earned it, but Lord, by your grace, hallelujah, and by the power of that name, Jesus, you sent it our way, the power of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, we thank you. And Lord, through, hallelujah, what was done at Calvary, our sins have been washed, and Lord, we're able to walk in the newness of life. Lord, we don't take it for granted, although some of us have been walking with you 10, 20, 30, 40, Lord, and in my case, almost 50 years. And Lord, it gets sweeter as the days go by. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Lord, thank you for our saints praying for me and my family. Thank you, Lord, for my family, my daughters, my awesome wife, my sweet cousins, my uncles checking on me. Lord, I sure do appreciate my dear friends checking on me. I thank you. It is a good thing, hallelujah, for love to be shown to people to actually care about how you're doing. And Lord, we're glad about it and we thank you. So Lord, bless Sister Samantha. It's a gradual process, but it's going in the right direction, Lord, in the direction of her being able to go home from the hospital whenever you say. But it's headed that direction. And we trust, Lord, you will bring her out soon or in your time, but bring her out safely and healthy and whole and sound in her body. Lord, we thank you. And Lord, we ask your blessing on others who may be going through grief, others who may be going through the trauma of seeing loved ones sick, the difficulty of trying to manage things, Lord, on that person's behalf, maybe even some disagreements in family, Lord. But Lord, you get in there, please, and work it together for our good and for your glory. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the day. Lord, we thank you for the ups and downs of the day, the pain of the day that you were with us when we had the pain, the joy of the day, and you are the object of our joy and the supplier of our joy, because your joy is indeed our strength. So Lord, bless everyone on the call. Bless those who are trying to get on and join, and who may join a little later. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, praise the Lord again. Tonight we're going to talk about overcoming spiritual clutter. And I can go first and say that's something that I have dealt with from time to time, sometimes more intensely than others, throughout the time that I have been walking with the Lord. Spiritual clutter, having things not in focus in my life, maybe allowing myself to be overburdened, maybe too many irons in the fire, if they say, not saying no enough. And so when I talk about spiritual clutter, you'll see that I have a counter principle of spiritual margin, right? And we'll talk about, I'm going to read two passages of scripture, and then I'm going to talk about what the Lord has put on my heart. And then we'll go back to some other scriptures. We may open it up a little earlier tonight for comments and questions. But be thinking about this idea of things you need to say no to in your life. And think about what about your downtime? Think about that. How do you use that? Could you take half of it and use it for something more spiritually nourishing? So keep that in mind. All right. Again, the topic is overcoming spiritual clutter. In the book of Luke, the fifth chapter, we find a record of Jesus calling some of the disciples to follow him. And in the Luke account, when he's talking to Peter and the sons of Zebedee, they had been fishing all night and hadn't caught anything. And then so he got on the ship, asked them to go out a little bit from the shore. He preached there were people gathered to hear him. And then he said, go out a little further and let down your nets. They let down the nets. The first response was, well, we've been doing this all night, dude, but at your word, we'll do it. And so they let the nets down, and then they had so many fish that they filled up two boats with them. And when they got to the shore, Jesus says, follow them, follow me, I'm going to make you fishers of men. And they followed him. And then we get another little short passage about Jesus and the script. Two verses I'm going to read are from that passage where Jesus, through his discretion, healed a leper. And the leper said words to this effect, if you will, heal me. And he said, I will, and you're healed. And then right after that, in verses 15 and 16, come to the scriptures I'm trying to talk about in terms of our topic, spiritual clutter. But so much the more, verse 15, went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. They wanted the word and they wanted the miracles. Verse 16, and he withdrew himself in the wilderness and prayed. He said no and went and refreshed himself. He went and prayed. He pulled himself away from the multitudes, from the busyness of the most powerful ministry the world has ever known. Hallelujah. God in flesh, yet he's trying to show us something, that there's some things we have to say no to. There's some things we have to take time, hallelujah, to pray, to refresh, hallelujah, to get renewed, and to go from spiritual clutter to spiritual margin, all right? And margin is the difference between your load and your capacity. I'm not a math person. I'm not a scientist, okay? And so I'm going to have to use some real simple numbers to talk about this. If an elevator has a capacity of 1,000 pounds and you put 600 pounds of weight on it, then you have 400 pounds to work with, or you have 400 pounds of margin. And in my case, in what I'm talking about, spiritual margin, because the difference between your capacity and your load is your margin. Speaking generally, you never want your margin to be a negative number. And sometimes we don't know where our capacity is. We are limited. I don't know what's going on outside my room here that I'm sitting in. So we need God's help, hallelujah, to search us and to know us and to help us to have common sense and spiritual discernment to know, okay, I really want to go to the Bible class if we're having it in person. I really want to go to the Bible class, but I'm kind of huffing and puffing. And maybe, suppose we had a hybrid class and you wanted to go in person, maybe you just said, you know what, I want to go. Pastor Perkins, no, I'm faithful. But maybe it's best not to push my whatever margin I have left to the limit and sit down somewhere. Eat me something, because I haven't eaten in several hours. Calm myself down, pray to get the world off of me a little bit, and then to sit at home and sit before my computer and watch it on Zoom. So we have to be mindful of, it's good for our health. It's good for our mental health. It's good for our spiritual health. It's good to deal with the spiritual clutter. I thought of a true sad example. The singer Aaliyah, when she was only 22 years old, was in the Bahamas as part of her career, and they were in a hurry to get back, and the plane that they sent didn't have the same capacity as the plane that they had flown to get there. And all they were going to from the Bahamas was somewhere in Florida. I mean, it wasn't a cross-country flight. The plane was overloaded by about 700 pounds is what the report was. And so using my margin analysis, their margin was minus 700 pounds. They were in a hurry, and the plane crashed immediately into the harbor or whatever, and it was horrific. And seven or eight people died. And what we don't want to do is to have a crash event spiritually or physically, because we have not taken time to ask God to help us to use good wisdom, to say no to some things. And so, There have been times in my life I've been the poster child for being in overload. You know, I'm not necessarily proud of that. Probably wasn't wise. Probably put some things in jeopardy that I certainly didn't want to be in jeopardy. But that's the truth. And we have to face the truth, right? So spiritual clutter, which could be overburdened, like we talked about with the plane, or having too many irons in the fire, right? You could be in terms of awake capacity, be okay, but you got so many things going, so many things that you didn't delegate, so many things that you didn't manage, that you're almost in paralysis. What do I do next? How do I get unstuck? It can leave you overburdened. It can leave you within your capacity in terms of weight, but having you pulled in so many directions, it can have the same effect of being actually overloaded. You can end up being ineffective, paralyzed by too many options, distracted by so many seemingly little things that have a limiting effect on your ability to focus and to excel. Spiritual clutter, which infringes on your spiritual margin, can leave you paralyzed, stuck, and much more likely to be disappointed and stressed. Okay, the second scripture I wanted to go to is one that we've gone over recently, and the impetus of what I'm going to say will be easier. I'm just going to read two verses, but when I read that first one, you're going to know what I'm talking about. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, seeing we also are compassed about or surrounded with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience that the race that is set before us. Now, talk maybe a month or so ago about the race set before us. And I featured this scripture, and it's obvious if you're carrying a lot of extra weight, you can't run a marathon like this race we have, and the sin that does so easily beset us. So it can be sin, or it can just be a weight. It can be something you worried about, something that you've allowed yourself to be overloaded with, something you should have said no to, but you said yes to. My daughters have really gotten on me. I mentioned this before about how many funerals I have preached since we had the sad duty of burying our own son. And I have said to them, I didn't ask them to ask me to preach the funeral or to give words of comfort. I was asked. And I didn't have a reason to say no, because I could physically arrange it in my schedule to be there. But they are concerned about it, and rightly so. And of course, I've been thinking about that more after my daughters, after Renita, have been talking to me about my workload, all the things I'm doing, all the demands on my time and my energy and all that. I don't have any complaints. I'm glad. I thank the Lord that I have a job. But you know, eventually the Lord allows, I'm gonna have to retire from the job, and by God's grace, hopefully focus you know, more and more on ministry, and then be able to say no to some things, you know, be in a position to rightly say no, and work closely with our leaders, delegate more, all of that. But it's a process. And what my point is, brothers and sisters, you have to listen to people around you who you know mean you well, and take what they say and take it to the altar and pray about it and say, my family is concerned about me doing X, Y, and Z, or extending myself on this way, or doing this right after this. And in my case, you know, having had the sad duty of burying my sister 6 months ago, September, and now my brother, my last sibling, We're 22 months apart. We're close, right? Right after it, people are rightly concerned. Cousins are checking on me. I appreciate that. And I told y'all, I may have told y'all, you know, I had trouble sleeping the first couple of days, but last 2 days I've had sweet, sweet sleep. Praise God. Somebody praying for a brother. But if I had not been able to sleep those 2 days, then I would have had to think about doing something else, taking some more time off work or something. I would have had to make some kind of adjustment. I would have had to say no to something. And sometimes we have to say no, even though we really want to do it. And it's a lesson learned. And how we say no is important, too. You know, we want to speak truth in love always. It is a lesson for us. And it's a practical lesson in how we manage it. And I got some things I want to say about that in just a minute. But in verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Well, we got to look to him. We're trying to run this race. We feel a sense of weight that may be impeding our progress in this race, our pilgrim journey, our ability to excel, our ability to bring honor to the Lord. Then we've got to go to Jesus, and we got to go to him first, and then we got to go to him after, and we got to keep on going to him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher, the perfecter of our faith, the perfecter of our faith walk, the perfecter of our pilgrim journey, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat on the right hand of the throne of God. And we see from that scripture in Luke how he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And that's not the only time that is recorded something very similar, maybe in different words, about him separating himself and recharging, praying, getting away from the multitudes. Spiritual clutter, which, like I said earlier, infringes on your spiritual margin, the room that you need to succeed and to excel and to meet the calling and purpose that God has in your life, can leave you paralyzed, stuck, likely to be disappointed. It's a truth that we can go fast and get nowhere fast. We can work hard, but not make progress that correlates with the amount of effort if we do not leave sufficient, unhurried room for rest, recharge, reflection. And let me give you a six-letter word that we need to know something about. Living. You have to live some every day. And those of us who have family, you wanna hug somebody. You wanna compliment somebody. You want to have a kind word. You want to laugh about something in the course of your day, no matter what's going on, right? I know that I am grieving, and I know that it has really affected me, the passing of my brother. It affected me to look at the draft obituary, and the one I looked at, you know, had his picture and all that. It was joyful to see him looking so good and alive on the photograph, but it hurt. It brought back the memories of what we saw, decline, the pain, what he went through. Such a brilliant man, no longer able to read, having trouble holding his thoughts. It was difficult. It was painful. Hallelujah. And it was painful to see the finality, even though it was a draft of an obituary, right? And But we soldier on in the name of Jesus because we know he's not going to leave us to our own devices and our own emotions and all that. But leave some living in every day. And if you have been busy all day, call that childhood friend, that favorite cousin, that uncle you know that wants to hear your voice. And just do a little, that will do you good. And if you can help somebody in the course of that, if you can find somebody to bless, find somebody to honor, hallelujah, praise the Lord, do it. It won't kill you, probably. I said probably. It won't kill you to leave space to make somebody's day. Laughing, interacting with people. And sometimes you need to have a conversation with people when there's nothing, no issue to work through. I learned that as a dad. As a dad, sometimes your job is to say, what about these report cards? What about the chores? I heard you said something kind of rough to your sister. What about that, you know? And I found out, of course, working real hard, working all these hours in ministry back then, I needed to carve out time when I was talking to my children one-on-one about nothing. No issue. No nothing. How's your friend Jeff doing? How was the rehearsal for the school play today? I heard your friend's mama just got out of the hospital. What's she doing? Just human stuff. Not trying to influence them to be more serious about this or to correct this kind of behavior, but just a conversation where there's no issue. And the way I did that, being as busy as I was and being kind of goofy, you know, I know when my girls were teenagers, I'm the last person they want to really spend a whole lot of time with. Even though, I mean, I know they love me and they know I wasn't mean. I didn't want to be mean to them. We have a certain person on this call, First Lady Renita Joy Perkins, would send me the Kroger, right? Back before the cell phones. I go to Kroger and I point out one of my kids, come on, ride with me. And while we went to Kroger, I would talk to them about nothing. Just showing I'm interested in them. And then we get to Kroger, we're walking around with the shopping cart, and then all of a sudden, my name would be on their public address system. And it would say, Russell Perkins, come to customer service. And I go to customer service. They would hand me the phone. First Lady Renita would say, oh, yeah, get some eggs and some milk. I said, yes, baby. And I would go ahead and add that to the list. But just look at that. Thank you for showing your face, First Lady. And so just the idea of taking one of my kids one-on-one. Because see, our girls were smart. Our son was smart. They knew how to push the buttons, right? I remember one time having a one-on-one with my son in the car. We were coming back from baseball practice or something. And I said, look, I saw your report card. Do you think that's the best you can do? I'm trying to come at it at a different way. And he said, well, Dad, I tried, you know. And he's like fifth grade then. And I said, well, you know, I believe you could make all A's and B's. What's a C about or whatever? And then he did something smooth beyond his years. He was like 10. He said, Daddy, I'm sorry if I can't meet your standards or something like that. And you know what? It had me worked up for a minute. I felt, oh, man, I've been too hard. And then something, I got a clue. I looked at him. I said, what television show did you hear that from? And he started busting out laughing. So he had me going for a minute. But as they got older, I started learning, right? I know it's hard for y'all to believe, but parents do have to learn. And so I began to learn that they needed one-on-one time with me when I wasn't being the disciplinarian, when I wasn't being the daddy, you know, when I was just being someone who loved them so much that even in my tone of voice, they could hear it. And I worked on that. And so the girls were slick. They were thinking at a high level. As you know, the girls kind of mature quicker and all that. And so they done got together. And they were saying kind of the same thing. Daddy, you just treat us as the girls. You treat us as one unit. Y'all, talk about me and Brittany. Y'all just see us as the girl, as a unit, not as individuals. I said, that's kind of high level thinking. I didn't think. And then, you know, I made a conscious effort to try to not say, but the girls did this and all that. And then it was shortly after that when I started taking them individually to the grocery store. Just listen to me, saints, because this is for our lives. You know, it's for our spiritual growth. We can't have revival, hallelujah, in terms of what God wants to do in your life if you're not revived, if you are overboard, if you are pulled in so many directions that you can't focus on what God has put in your life. All your gifts buried under the busyness of life. You want God, hallelujah, to use you in the way that he created you and the purpose that he has instilled in your spirit. And, you know, we have obstacles along the way. We get older, we get ailments, whatever. Knee problems, back problems, shoulder problems, all of that. You want God to use you, and he can use you right where you are in terms of your physicality and all of that. But you want to have some margin. You want to have some capacity. You don't want to be overburdened, overclocked, or just pulled in so many directions. Or involved in things and involved in people that do not help your spiritual life, that detract from your spiritual life. And you might not know it. They may love you, you know, the way that they can love you. But these distractions, these things that take away from the spiritual focus, the spiritual purpose, can creep in your life. And next thing you know, you're sitting somewhere with very little spiritual capacity, very little spiritual margin. And it can be through sin. It could be through not focusing or not saying no enough. Or letting somebody who's in your life know, no, this is unacceptable behavior. We have to set boundaries. All right. Taking care of your health, prayer, Bible reading, personal devotion time. It is possible for the Lord to expand your capacity and to enlarge your borders. But even with expansion and your enlargement, your capacity at a given moment in time is going to be finite, right? It's going to be whatever it is. And most of us as human beings are not equipped in all of our thinking and overthinking to know exactly what our capacity is at a given moment. Hence the need for spiritual margin. And we don't come with a label and says that Perkins is, his capacity is three people acting a fool of the week. the capacity might shift, right? Just like the amount of strength I have on a day or during the week. So 5 days, 5 weekdays. Well, I'll just pick a number out of there. My on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, my capacity might be, I'll just use a simple number, 50%. On Thursday, it might be at 20, right? Because of I'm tired, something's bothering me, my knee is flaring up, whatever, I got a headache, you know, whatever. The capacity is different, and we might not know exactly what it is that day. And so leave yourself margin. So in a day when you don't feel well, give yourself a little bit more room, right? So that God can get out of you that day. Because what? We don't get but one day at a time. He can get out of you that day what he wants to get out of you for your glory, for his glory, and also, hallelujah, for your replenishing, for your, you know, as you sow, hallelujah, if your capacity to sow is limited, your capacity to reap is limited, right? And so we want to deal with these things, and we have to listen to the people who love us and then take it to the altar because we don't really know. They may just be operating in some opinion that is not connected to what God sees. So you have to take it to the altar. But listen, because you don't know what to pray about if you don't listen. You don't know how intensely to pray about it if you don't listen. Listening is one of the best things that has helped me in my life, is to listen. But Word of God says, faith coming by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So your faith is connected to listening. So we need the spiritual margin because we're not equipped to really know our exact spiritual capacity. When we going to go from having margin to being spiritually cluttered. If you are overextended or spread in too many unfocused directions, how can you be revived enough? A point I said earlier, for God to use you as an instrument or vessel of revival or to manifest the move of God that God wants to use you in Brother Heaven Church to ignite. If you have 50 pairs of shoes, I'm not talking about First Lady. I don't know how many she got. So I just want to throw that disclaimer. But if you have 50 pair of shoes, but one magnificent pair, beautifully, sublimely comfortable pair of shoes that you want to wear to church. But if you have a bin of 50 pairs of shoes and the magnificent shoes are at the bottom of the bin, and you find yourself running late for church, you won't have the time to church to search through the other 49 pairs in the bin. So you go to church, rushing, maybe with your feet hurting. Sometimes the way to get to yes, these things that I'm talking about, that is things that the Lord impressed upon my heart after looking at those scriptures. Sometimes the best way to get yes in terms of your hopes, dreams, and goals for your life, for your family, for your career and business endeavor and your spiritual life is to say no to some things. 1 year when I was in private practice, I want to give this example. I had a caseload of 125 cases. A lot of them were big cases. About a third were federal court cases. Some with all these little bitty cases with Uncle them and Junebug them from Pearl High. And I took those cases because they told me to take cases that came in the door. I was trying to do what they said. 1 year I said, you know, this not working. In those 125 cases, seven cases, I didn't say 70, I said seven cases about brought in 80% of the revenue that I brought in for a particular year. I'm not a math major, but that don't sound right. So I talked to my partner. I said, I'm going to drop some of these areas where I'm working. You know, I don't want to do these kind of cases, these kind of cases, these kind. I don't want to take everything that comes to the door. I want to focus on these cases, which also happen to be the kind of cases I wanted to work on. I dropped. When I said dropped, I didn't drop my clients, but when new things came to go, I didn't accept. I said no to those cases. So at the end of the next year, my revenue came very close to doubling. Why? Because I said no to the dead weight. I said no to the thing that was, and you need to, you got some dead weight. Somebody here got some dead weight, some dead relationships that are not helping you spiritually. In fact, they may be pulling you away from God. There's some things, some issues, right? I spoke of how we spend our downtime. How do you spend your downtime, right? That's your business. I ain't the kind of pastor that they're going to make you fill out a questionnaire about that. I do have, by God's grace, a measure of discernment about a few things. It comes and goes. I ain't going to get up and say I have the gift of discernment every day. But every now and then, God will show me some things. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm discerning that there are people on this call who are connected to stuff that is draining their spiritual margin, that is increasing their spiritual clutter, that is not benefiting them. There's some things you need to change. There's some things you need to say no to. There's some people you need to either kick out of your life or put them on the back burner. And there's some habits that you need to change. There's some habits I need to change. Hallelujah, in order to get the spiritual focus and impetus and freedom that God really wants us to have. So, questions, comments, brief testimonies. Anybody wants to say something about things that you, over the years, have had to change in your life to benefit your spiritual walk? Whatever. The floor is open.
Yeah, Pastor Perkins, praise the Lord. Good evening to all the saints on the line. Do for sure appreciate this message. It is just good practical exhortation for daily living. And it reminds me of a particular pastor who died some years ago. He had a radio ministry and he was really huge. His name was Adrian Rogers. And this is the type of teaching. And it is so applicable. And it really defines different points in my life, even today, you know, because I was been thinking how I need to, first of all, just properly prioritize my life, you know, beginning with my relationship with the Lord and the things that He's given me to do, and to get back into doing certain things. And, you know, we can get distracted, we can get derailed, and then, you know, as we're trying to get back, you know, there's a whole lot of stuff we can pick up, just trying to get back. It's just daily life. And I'll tell you, just early on in my career, you know, I was just, things got so complex, and you can understand, it was so complex and it was so much just to be able to almost keep my sanity and function on my job and the family. I never talked about anything on my job. Just because it brought on stress. I never talked to my kids about what I did, my wife, not until the last several years, really. They didn't know. And at this time, I was in Illinois and I worked in Chicago. And my agency, at a young age, put me over Chicago, design construction for the federal government over all the interstates and stuff up there. And there was a lot going on. If you're familiar with Chicago, the Kennedy Expressway, the Edens, and all the stuff that just, but it got so complicated that I never talked about it. And I'd be gone, for weeks, at a time. And when I call home, the conversation would be, what time is Brandon's soccer game going to be on Friday? Let me speak to the kids. Let me talk to them. I want to find out what's going on with them to get my mind away. Stuff, and I understand the importance of that communication with your family and leaving space for them, because that space was the only thing that just, kept me grounded and just kept me from just getting completely kind of lost in things. But I appreciate what you're saying tonight, and it kind of reminds me of the fact that what I was thinking of today. I need to get back involved in some things and some ministry that I had been involved with pretty heavily. And I know COVID, changed things. And for me, just backing out, like for example, I did a lot at the Room at the Inn and down at the Mission and teaching classes and that type of thing, because all the germs and bacteria backed out. But it's letting me know I need to get back into things again, get reconnected with things, and just so many things that you're seeing and looking to Jesus. Every morning now, I look to Jesus. Lord, what should I do today? Lord,
Hallelujah.
put my schedule in order. I'm turning this over to you. I had a list of probably about a half dozen things to do today. But after talking to the Lord, I didn't do one of them. Things were just completely redirected. And I'm gonna say this, and this is kind of for you too, which is all right. My schedule is very flexible too, because I'm retired. I'm retired.
Yeah.
I tell my
Praise
kids,
God.
they ask me, Dad, can you do this and do that? I say, yeah, I can rearrange things. You know what? Because I'm retired. So God bless you. Your day is coming. Yeah, your day is coming. And but I do appreciate all of the examples and all the things I got. I'm a note taker, so I got several pages of notes here. And I do thank you. And listening to the voice of the Lord, it's so important to develop that to where you can hear the voice of the Lord and it's Him. And that has been my prayer. Lord, let me hear your voice and know that it's you. Make it plain that I know it's you, because that clutter can keep me from hearing plainly, and for sure that it's him and it's not me or not something else is coming in and affecting that. But that is one of the most important benefits that we can have in our walk and in our ministry, is being able to hear that voice plainly and clearly. And we get so much counseling and direction if we can develop. And it takes time in prayer. It takes time in prayer. And if I get too distracted, then that connection can become distant or can become severed to a certain degree. So you talked about, our spiritual health, taking care of your health, reading the Bible and praying. So important. All of that works together. So anyway, thank you so much. God bless you. Yes, just keep on. Yeah, keep on teaching. Let me stop rambling. Let
Oh,
you
good.
go. God bless
That's
you. God
good.
bless
God
you.
bless. Thank you. I appreciate what you
Thank
said.
you.
Anybody else? Questions, comments, brief testimonies? I'm going to read another scripture that we've gone over lately. In another context, Luke, the 10th chapter, verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus's feet and heard his word. We got to hear that word, y'all. And that word is sharper than a two-edged sword. So it will help us excise some things, cut out some things in our lives that need to be cut out. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister have left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. It's nothing wrong with working hard. Certainly it is a good thing. There's nothing wrong with asking for some help. It's what's in your spirit, you know? If you're frustrated about it, you got to leave some space to let the good part, the joy, the privilege of serving Jesus. She had a privilege that I would love to have Jesus sitting at a table, and I'm trying to bring him my best. Our life is like that. We're trying to bring Jesus our best, right? And we shouldn't get uptight about it. We shouldn't be wound too tight about it. We should delight in it and choose the good part. And Jesus answers and said unto her, Martha, Martha, you're careful and troubled about many, but one thing is needful. Job one. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Devotion. Margin away from serving to worshiping and listening to the voice of the Lord. All right. Questions, comments, anybody? The topic is overcoming spiritual clutter. And of course, natural clutter, I've been working on that. My office, it's looking better. It's going to take a while to get it like I want it. The house, it's going to take a longer while because it's bigger. It's got so much years of stuff, many more years of stuff in there. I'm working on it. Sometimes you just got to get your mind right. You know how your coach used to say, get your mind right, boy. Now I'm trying to get my mind right about tackling the house. But I'm so thankful that the Lord has been dealing with me on this. And as a young man, the Lord was dealing with me with the word margin right before we got married. And it was in relation to finances, you know, not get too many bills, you know. This is a financial lesson too about saving money. Let me give you a little tidbit, and I have not mastered this, but the word and living gives me some insight into this. So I don't have to be an expert on it. I have to show you what God has shown me. If you are working and not paying your tithes and not saving, you're just working for room and board like a sharecropper. Cropper or something, like the things that our ancestors couldn't do no better in, right? But save your money, pay yourself, give yourself some margin so that you're not just working for room and board, okay? It'll bless you. And the younger you are, the more you can make your money work for me and get compounded over time. So start thinking about that now. And if you don't Some of y'all are really young, like in your 30s. Get you a regular doctor. Because the next time there's a pandemic that comes, if it comes, or if something hits you, but if a pandemic comes, you want a relationship with a doctor that you can call them or text them, and you can get whatever is available. Even if, so before the shots became available, I got the monoclonal infusion because I had a relationship with my doctor, and he set it up so I could get, that might have saved my life. So get your doctor, get you some insurance, you know, some kind of way. Even if you have to go on 10 care or whatever, get you some insurance, develop a relationship, do some preventive things about your health, get some wisdom and understanding, because it says without a vision, people perish. Find some things out so that you can head off something. Everything that has happened in your family doesn't happen to you in terms of the medical. We know that DNA is a strong driver, but there's some good habits you can start young financially and in your health that can minimize the impact of these things on you. And then that will help you in your capacity to do what God has you to do. But some of y'all, and some of y'all don't even sound, some of us are struggling with things now at this very moment. And sometimes we don't know the answer. How can I get out of this? How can this get better? How can, and so when you think about it and you think about the spiritual clutter, you say, well, what are some things that I can say no to so that I can say more, yes, to more time with the Lord and more time in the word, right? And more time doing things that honor God, right? And do I have to have X, Y, and Z? And if you don't have to have it, maybe God's got something more spiritually profound for you to do. One of my things I used to do some years ago was I love to give away Bibles and love to give away books. And in my Sunday school class, if somebody didn't have a Bible, I would get them a Bible. And I had young men in the Bible class. And I would talk to them like this, y'all. I would say, look, I'm not going to call y'all boys. They were teenagers. I said, I'm not going to call you a boy. But if you don't bring your Bible to Sunday school class, that's a boy move, you know? And they laugh and stuff. And they start bringing their Bibles. And I didn't have to try to make them feel bad about it. And every class, I say, okay, let me see your Bible. And then somebody hold up a Bible. I said, that's a sanctuary Bible. That's not your Bible. They just try to run one by me, you know, and I know a sanctuary Bible, what I said. But sometimes a little old Bible to just lay it out. Don't nobody claim it. They'll grab that and act like try to play against their Bible. Well, I knew what their Bibles looked like because I bought most of them, you know, and was so thrilled to do it, you know. Such a joy to do that. I had a good relationship years ago. We don't have any contact much these days, but we no falling out with Elder Robert Gardner up in Springfield. He's related to our family through a former marriage. His sister was Brother Gerald's wife at one time. But anyway, so I would get him books. What I thought was the best book I had, I'd either give it to him or mail it to him. And he was so nice about getting those books. Brother Perkins, I read that book. It was a good one, you know. I said, well, all right. It's a book about prayer and stuff like that. So there are some things I just felt better. I might have been broke at the time, you know. I might have been struggling with something at the time. Might have been going through. Somebody in my family might have been sick at that time, but just extending myself on something that I knew was honorable, something I knew God would be pleased with, right? So I used whatever little so-called discretionary money I had to do something like that, and it made me so feel so good, and I grew from that because I was sowing. And so you have to ask yourself the question, what are you sowing? And then ask yourself the question that Paul asked in the book of Galatians. You did run well. What did hinder you? What got in the way? What made you stop blessing people? What made you stop extending yourself? What made you stop doing the thing that made you, gave you so much joy, that was honorable in the Lord? Well, you done got too cluttered up with other things. And we have to be mindful of that, because no matter how big your capacity is, let's use a rich man. A rich man might be a billionaire, right? But they have a finite capacity at that moment, right? They might can grow it, they might can triple it in a few years, right? But at that moment, they have a finite capacity. And we have to examine how we're using the capacity that God has given us. Take stock, self-examination. And don't just stop at self-examination. Ask God to search you and know you and show you, as the elder was saying, to hear the voice of the Lord about yourself, right? Because you got to hear from God. You got to hear it, because God's word is always a word of requirement. It's not entertainment. It's not for you to judge which preacher you like the best. You can do that, but don't stop right there. Get something out of it. If you are in a church something service and you don't get anything out of it, don't blame the preacher. It's you. Because if the preacher just read the word, you're supposed to get something out of that. Take that scripture with you. If everything he said was nonsense after he read the scripture, take the scripture and go meditate on it before the Lord and ask the Lord, what do you want me to get out of this, the Lord, today, Lord? And how can I please you? And Lord, show me what to do with what you've already given you. The scripture says in Philippians 4:19, that he will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. But we have to apply what he has supplied, right? Faith without works is dead. So we got to do something with what God has given us. Questions, comments, brief testimonies.
Praise the Lord. This is Sister Carol.
Praise the Lord, Sister Carol.
Oh, I just want to say that I'm enjoying the Bible study too on this spiritual clutter. At first, I took it wrong. I thought maybe we was doing, I guess you can't do too much spiritual stuff. But anyway, but I saw what you're saying. And I wrote down one point. You said, what are some things that I can stop doing so that I can spend more time with God and more time in prayer? And I put that down like as a priority for me to work on. And I appreciate this. And also too, at the end when you pray, I have a prayer request. Tomorrow I have to go to St. Thomas Heart to get some serious testing done, cardiac testing and everything. Two tests. They said I'd be there about 4 hours. If y'all could pray that that the results would come back negative in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you. Good lesson, and good lesson. I'm enjoying it. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's making me do some serious thinking. You know what I mean? So what things in my life that I could decrease, where I could, like what you said, spend more time in prayer, spend more time in the word, spend more time helping others, encouraging others and everything. One thing I like to do is when I'm driving around and everything, especially up here by this Cornerstone Church, seem like at that corner is usually somebody there that's homeless or stuff. And then I saw one guy after he walked away, he was actually walking up the hill beside Cornerstone Church. It's a lot of trees and stuff back there. And one time when I was passing by him, he said that's where he lives and that's where he stays back up there and everything. And so at that little time, I could talk to him for a few minutes. You know, I give him some money, but you have enough time to encourage him. Either, you know, what's your name? How can I pray with you? And, you know, kind of like get to know them and everything. And that's a big part of giving and stuff. And one of the guys, he asked me, he said he really liked to come to church with me and everything. And I would love to bring him with Bread of Heaven. But, you know, I got to use wisdom too. You know, I'm just a female and everything and putting somebody else in my car. But it did, you know, kind of like stick with my mind. He said, I would love to go to y'all's church. And I just encouraged him, you know, to go to Cornerstone since it's, you know, right up there and everything. But part of me wished that I could bring him to Bread of Heaven.
Okay. We probably need to buy some bus tickets and hand it out to people and see if they'll use it to come to Bread of Heaven.
That's an idea. I could think about that.
Don't put one of those guys in your car, Sister Carol. Don't do that. We want you to be safe. All right. Anybody else want to talk? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for tonight's lesson and tonight's interaction and time together with the saints. Lord, bless everybody who joined the call. And Lord, touch them in their lives and in their bodies. Lord, have your way with your people that we might get, hallelujah, what you want us to get out of tonight's gathering in your name. We come today, Lord, because you allowed it. We come in your name, Lord, not in our own. We come, Lord, hallelujah, because you are awesome. We thank you. Lord, we ask your blessing over every soul on this call. And Lord, that you bless and enlarge the borders, Lord, and bring them to a place, hallelujah, where they have time for the sweet things in life that you have already provided. Family, spiritual downtime, wholesome relationships, a loving and caring relationship, the opportunity to find people to bless and find people to honor. And Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we ask your blessing on Sister Kara. We put her on the altar, Lord, and we ask that you touch her, that you bless her, Lord, that you, when she goes for the cardiac testing that's going to take several hours tomorrow, that it will be negative, that there won't be anything there. Hallelujah. And that they'll find something else, like maybe she's had a panic attack, maybe something non-chronic is going on with her. But whatever it is, Lord, we ask that you intervene and that you bless and that you bring her out of those tests. Hallelujah. Rejoicing. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for everybody on the call. We put those among us who have had ailments on the altar. Lord, we ask your blessing on us. Lord, help us to follow the requirements of your word. Help us to get untangled with some of the relationships and the things. Lord, I spoke tonight under your leading about what we do in our downtime. That's a crucial area. Lord, you showed me some years ago that in dealing with the children and the violence and the things that happen in the community is that we're not losing them in school. We're losing them after school when they have the time, perhaps with very little supervision. Lord, when the pressure of the peer pressure is not modified by having adults, adult supervision or whatever. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, help us with our downtime, Lord, that we might give you the glory. Bless everybody on the call. Bless Sister Samantha. Bless the Malone family. Lord, bless, hallelujah, my family, Lord. My niece, hallelujah, who has lost her dad. My nephew, who has lost his dad. My step-niece, who has lost her stepfather. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, my God, you know how to fix that. And Lord, hallelujah, the schedule of the service is next Friday. And Lord, you know it was probably the worst day of next week for them to have this funeral. But Lord, you made a way. And Lord, I thank you in front of all the saints, Lord, for for clearing up my schedule so that I won't have to worry about anything but going and trying to honor my brother, to worship you, to tend to my family in whatever way you would have me tend to them. And Lord, and to just have some room in my life to be used to maximum by you. So bless, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Good night, amen. Everybody. Love
God. Good night. Everybody have a blessed night in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Bless you with the love of
Be
Christ.
Blessed. Love you.
Love you more.
Happy good night. Speaking.
Good night, everyone.
Hey, Pastor Perkins.
All right, Brother Zachary, is that you?
Yes, sir.
All right, now. That's all right.
God bless
you.
Everyone. God bless
everybody.
Love you. Good night.
On there.
Living Bread. Thank you for listening to Living Bread.
Living Bread.
Please spread the word about today's broadcast.
Living Bread.
The call-in number is 615-270-1514. Bread of Heaven Church is an outpost for the glory of God. Sunday morning worship is at 9:30 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock. We invite you to come worship with us, 2430 Jefferson Street, Nashville, Tennessee. You will be blessed.